afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Thursday, July 12th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much.
Well, I want to tell everybody that tomorrow Melody will be 39 years old. Everybody listen, all y'all out there, tomorrow she'll be 39 years old.
Oh, now
she paid me a lot of money to tell you that, so there you go.
You're telling the world.
Happy birthday, Miss Melody. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. And it's on a Friday the 13th. So.
Well, that'll tell you something.
Means I'm going to stay home.
But happy birthday, sweetheart. I want to say that you've earned every one of them, and you're a good lady doing it. I want to tell you that.
Well, thank you very much. It's I've certainly been blessed, and thank you.
You're welcome.
I usually don't talk much about my birthday, and I think this is really the first time that it was ever really announced on the radio. So, but anyway, thank you.
Well,
anyway,
if you pay me more, I wouldn't have said anything.
If I paid you more, you would have said I was 29, not 39.
There you go, exactly. All righty, I better go for getting in trouble. Anyway, go ahead.
But gold today is making my birthday a little bit cheerier, and hopefully it'll do the same tomorrow. It's up $5.50 today at $1,247.50. Silver's up 15 cents at $16.03. Platinum was up 15 at $845. Palladium was up 11 at $954. USDX today was up 0.08 at $94.79. And to me, I think it's interesting. And every time we see the dollar higher and gold higher, it seems to me that we probably hit our bottom for gold pricing and silver pricing, I would think. So that's a good sign. We'll have to see if it follows through to tomorrow. But that is my prediction. Crude oil was down 14 cents today at 70.24. Didn't follow the paper markets today. We were busy writing orders today. Let's see. The stock market is probably positive. Yep. Up 224 points, 24,925. The NASDAQ was up 107 at 7,823. The S&P was up 24 at 2,798. The 10-year yield, 2.85%. There was pressure on the euro, but down 0.02 at 117. And all foreign markets were stronger. Still a little fear in the markets. It's kind of in the neutral between fear and the greed. Pressure on Bitcoin today. And, you know, all eyes have been on, you know, what's happening with President Trump and the NATO meeting you know, everything else that's going on. And again, it just surprises me when you have the comments that it seems like Trump stormed into the NATO meeting, but, you know, sort of mellowed, said it went well and still there, and accusing what I thought was interesting was accusing Germany and Russia being in bed together. And so I thought that was kind of interesting, but nothing seems to matter, Butch. And it's really kind of interesting.
It is interesting, and I'll wait to see what comes out of this. I mean, Trump said that the NATO allies are going to up their spending and help out a little bit, which I think is very fair and way overdue. But he's blaming Germany for being collusion with Russia. Well, he's been blamed for that for about a year and a half now, being collusion also, so... I don't know. And Melody, I had a guy that was a sponsor of the program some years ago who sells a product that lost his place, I think, on an internet site somewhere because he sold to Russia, which was unethical. So Russia's getting a lot of bad raps here lately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and what's interesting is I saw a headline today that Trump will consider sanctions to businesses who help Russia sell oil with the pipeline that they want to build to Germany. And it's just like, and to me, I think that's a pretty powerful statement, and that should have the markets, you know, in an uproar. I mean, this is things that wars are created. Wars are created. And,
well, how many nations are we sanctioned already?
I know.
I mean, how many can we cover at one time?
And so, you know, if Germany wants to do business with Russia, you know, where is, you know, we're going to deal with our, you know, we're going to support our country and do what needs to be done for our country. It's, I don't know. So we'll have to see how it plays out. The sanctions haven't been placed, but I really thought it was an interesting comment. No one paid any attention to it. And last night, Pastor Butch, I did a interview with James Corbett, which airs tomorrow. And we did talk a lot about this sort of shared reality and shared delusion in these markets. And, you know, why there are no reactions to these markets when there should be. And he had some very good thoughts about that. And so I want to encourage the listeners to make sure they tune in tomorrow, as that's when the program will be aired. This came out just shortly a little bit ago at 2 o'clock. The U.S. government's budget deficit narrowed in June. That was compared with a year earlier. It does show spending and revenue collection both fell, including a large drop for corporate tax receipts in the wake of federal tax cuts. The monthly deficit in June was $74.86 billion. That's 70% smaller than last year's at $90.23 billion deficit. Everyone had expected the deficit to be around 85, so that's a pretty big drop. So we'll have to see if there's any type of revision, and it really doesn't say. The spending in June was down 9% for the same month a year earlier. Receipts were down 7%. I'm just looking at this report for the first time, so I haven't had a chance to see if there was any really interesting things in this. And, you know, if it does, we'll bring it later on in the program or tomorrow. So,
when you talk about deficit and budget here, I'd like to share this article that I think is interesting. It says, exactly 10 years ago, in the middle of summer 2008, we all remember that year, the world was only 2 months away from the most severe financial crisis since the Great Depression. At that time, the size of the U.S. economy, as measured by gross domestic product, was found around $14.8 trillion, by far the largest in the world. And the U.S. national debt back then was about 64% of GDP, roughly $9.5 trillion. Fast forward a decade and take a snapshot of the day's numbers. U.S. GDP has grown nearly 35% to $19.9 trillion. But the national debt has soared 122% to over $21 trillion. The debt-to-GDP ratio in the United States is now 106%, meaning that the national debt is larger than the size of the entire U.S. economy. Now, maybe it's the spending's down, but we're still larger than the whole economy combined. And yet we know it's going to grow. The debt ratio was down this month, last month, Melody, but it's still going in debt, weren't we?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's wonderful. It's down. I applaud that. But it's like you making 5 and spending 20, and next month you make 5 and spend 15. That's better, but you're still going in the hole, aren't you?
Yes.
There you go. That's the way you compare it, folks. Not by what they say sounds so good and so perfect. It is better. I'll give them that. $20 is $15 less than $20 if you'll make $5, but you're still going down the tubes. America is still going down the tubes. That's it, period.
It really is, and even though we, you know, it's not going to change. We have these obligations, and it's only over the long term going to grow. I don't see any cutbacks anywhere, and this is a good part what we talked about last night. I mean, look at Japan. You know, hey, Japan's economy is beginning to churn. It's beginning to create a little bit of inflation, but what happens when the Bank of Japan stops with the stimulus? They can't stop. These world economies is all based on the central banks pumping money into the economies.
And just exactly what our founding fathers warned us against, we have done.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, the people now are to the point where they don't want it to stop. because they know what's going to happen. So they just sit back quietly thinking they're enjoying the benefits of these governments stimulating the economies, and perhaps they are to some degree at this moment, but it just can't go on. And, you know, there was a statement said that it's like, we're not wishing that bad things happen. We don't want bad things to happen. But the bad things are going to happen, and we're just trying to warn you.
Well, if the dam is getting ready to burst, and you see it coming, you don't want to burst. But you're trying to tell them, get ready, it's coming, it's going to break, it's already got a crack in it, it's going to come. We don't want to happen, we didn't do it, we're trying to stop it and warn you, but you better prepare, it's coming. You're doing the same thing here, we're doing the same thing here. We don't want this to happen, but we're telling you it's going to happen because the dam's about ready to burst.
And and when they were building the dam, we saw they weren't doing it properly.
Exactly.
And we tried to stop them, but it didn't work.
You know, the dam was originally by our founders put up pretty well, but then we started playing with it and changing things here and there and tweaking here and there. Look where we are now.
Yes, it's a darn shame.
It is a darn shame.
I was going to say that other word, but I didn't want to swear.
Well, that's very polite of you, but it's a family program. But anyway, but the situation is dire, and I know we keep putting their head in the sand, and they keep saying things, well, we spent less last month. Good. But we still spent billions over what we had coming in.
Yes.
That can't go on forever.
No, it can't. But,
you know, and maybe I'm just an old fogey, and I think that we should balance a budget. I do. My home, at least try to. It gets tough sometimes, but I can't overdraw every month and say we're okay. I'll just borrow more next month and spend more. It doesn't work for me that way. And doesn't work for governments that way forever either.
So what else would you like to talk about today?
Well, you probably saw this article. If you didn't, I'll share it with you. The state of New Jersey just signed its own death warrant. I guess you probably saw that article.
Mm-hmm.
But this, have you already shared this on the air? Because I think it's important if you didn't.
Go ahead.
You would think New Jersey would have learned its lesson. No state has learned its lesson yet. But anyway, 2 years ago, New Jersey's richest resident, hedge fund billionaire David Tepper, decided to move himself and his business to Miami Beach. Tepper, who personally earned more than $6 billion from 2012 to 2015, was tired of paying New Jersey's top income tax rate of 8.97% for the 20 years he lived there, in addition to the country's highest property taxes, the estate tax and inheritance tax. By moving to Florida, a state with zero income tax, Tepper stood to save hundreds of millions of dollars each year. And an added bonus, he'd be living in the Sunshine State. Anyone with common sense would have at least acknowledged the possibility that a guy like Tepper would consider moving to save a few hundred million bucks. But New Jersey, content on milking its ultra-wealthy for tax revenue, was caught completely by surprise. Now, I just got this question, Melody. Do you really think bureaucrats are that stupid that they're caught by surprise when they're taxing people and taxing people and taxing people and the other place they can go where they won't be taxed? Do you think they're so stupid to think they won't take advantage of that? You really believe that stupid?
No.
It can't be. And Tepper's departure left an enormous hole in its budget. One man, you believe that? One person leaving left New Jersey's budget in a worse condition. But they went ahead, and guess what they did? They raised the income tax rate another percent or so, a percent and a half, I believe it was. So they raised income tax, and I think also corporate taxes in that state. Now, the answer, of course, is when you're losing money, you raise taxes. When people move, to increase tax on the rest of them. That's just common sense. That's what you do, isn't it? Just raise tax on ones that are left. And when they leave, some more leave, raise tax again. That's how you do it. That's how you survive. You know, and let's face it, that's the name of the game. They're not going to... In our state, they took the food tax off some years ago. But they increased other taxes. States, corporations, do not cut their own throats. They'll cut something here and say, look, we're going to save you this on food. That's wonderful. It's great. But food tax was a very fair tax. Everybody paid the same amount, period, whether rich or poor. So they raised tax in other places, made it a little bit uneven from the richer to the poor or whatever. But they don't lose money, Melody. They can't lose money. The only thing they know how to do is spend. So how can they lose money? They don't make money as far as producing anything. they have to raise taxes on us. So New Jersey, instead of learning from this, raise taxes again. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, they can play the games with taxes. You can have people with wealthy move away and go to places where there's no income tax, and you can have the states. But people, and it's just like, well, why are the taxes so high? What can we do to lower the taxes? But there's no one addresses that. It's because they can't. And I also heard because of this that they told their police officers they are now required to have very strong stopping, you know, for stopping people with tickets, mm-hmm. the revenue for tickets, auto tickets. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have to do so many per day.
They have quotas.
They have increased that. Yes.
Yes. They have quotas everywhere. As a matter of fact, in our
but they've right increased. Next. But they've increased their quotas to something that's like they have to do one an hour or one a half hour or something like that. They're actually timed.
That is also revenue getting, is it not?
Yes, it is.
And that is a police state, Melody. That is a police state. That is fleecing the public of their hard-earned monies. That is a police state. And taxation, no matter how well-intentioned, is tyranny. To tax someone to give to somebody else is tyranny. Period. That's it. Now, I don't care what anybody says. It is. And to tax me to pay for murdering unborn children or to pay for public schools that I don't believe in is the worst kind of tyranny. You follow what I'm saying on that?
And you know what's really sad is those poor people who are stuck in New Jersey that can't pick up and leave.
Yes.
Like the wealthy people can. And they get stuck with the brunt of the taxes for the mismanagement of the states. And
it gets tighter and tighter on them all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at the taxes that we've seen in Illinois.
Oh yeah, Illinois is under almost. It's just about finished.
Yeah.
But all states are on the brink, including West Virginia.
Yeah.
I know we don't like to think about it, but we are.
But
our governor got elected and promising no more taxes. The first thing they did is raise taxes.
Yeah, I mean, if they really wanted to do something to spur the economy, what they should do is eliminate all the state income taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that would generate income. That would generate the consumers. That would motivate the consumers. It would give them money in their pockets. But
well, they never seem to learn.
But those pensions got to get paid somehow.
I don't hear music, but I think we're on break. There it is.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom here with Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul, and we'll be right back right after these few short commercials.
We will find you. Acting on your best behavior, turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, and that is with the S, dgscoins.com. Please make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs live, and they are archived on a regular basis. And we're going to carry through that Mint State 63 $20 Liberty Gold piece for $1,475. And again, that's a great buy. We've seen gold drop, and I'm not counting today's increase of $5, but we saw as of yesterday gold drop about $52, and we had a $25 increase in the Mint State 63 $20 gold piece. So they did increase today, but I'm keeping them at yesterday's price. And so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I'm not going to do it on today's program, but I'm getting a lot of questions on $20 gold pieces. There's so much misinformation that floats around on the internet about $20 gold pieces. And it's the same information, or the same, I don't know what you want to call it, misinformation, the wrong information on the $20 gold pieces I've heard for 23 years. And it's usually by people who don't sell gold, or it's by people who sell paper. And they don't want you to buy $20 gold pieces. They don't want you to understand the leverage that you can have from the $20 gold pieces. They'd rather sell you junk stocks and penny stocks with these odd percentages that most likely you'll never ever get. And $20 gold pieces basically in competition with that. And that's one of the reasons. And so you have to understand, whoever you talk to, about a type of coin, a pre-1933 gold piece, look to see what their agenda is. There are no bad coins. There are no bad gold and silver coins out there. Each coin has a purpose and a place in a portfolio. It's my job as a person who sells gold and silver coins to educate you on the various coins and tell you how they're going to perform in your portfolio. How many times have people called me and I asked them, well, what type of gold do you have? Well, I don't know. I bought it from so-and-so and I'm really not quite sure. Every one of my customers know the type of gold they have, what it's going to do, how it's going to do, and in what market it's going to do it in. So, and that's the importance, and that's what you'll find at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And that's 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. What's next?
Well, Butch, I just want to share this, and I don't know. Again, the tariff deal, I'm still waiting to see what happens. I read pro and con, read that wholesale prices went up last month because of the tariff, and I don't know, but I do know that BMW, which is a large manufacturer in this country, is going to be moving some of its facilities overseas. That's what it says. According to the Post and Courier in South Carolina, BMWs have money that it would move production for some of its SUVs out of the U.S. as a result of tariffs placed on the vehicles. BMW is the largest U.S. auto exporter and employs 10,000 people, Melody, at a plant in Spartanburg, South Carolina. As the Hill reports, a Germany-based automobile manufacturer signed an agreement with its Chinese partner, Brilliance Automotive Group Holdings, to increase the number of vehicles produced in the country, according to the Charleston newspaper, which the total reaching 520,000 by 2019. Well, that's a lot of manufacturing moved overseas. Our agreement sets a long-term framework for our future in China, a future involving continued investment, further growth, and a clear commitment to the development and production of electric vehicles. One thing is certain, it did not take BMW long to make this chain, signing a deal with China and abandoning South Carolina. Some might say they were going in 60 seconds and acted fast and furious. That's quite a few jobs going as far as producing 520,000 cars by 2019 and moving it to China. That's a chunk of money and revenue, is it not?
Yes, it is. You know, it certainly is.
And
you know,
BMW is not an inexpensive car.
No, it isn't. And Mercedes has given similar comments about what they're going to do if they get targeted, you know, on the tariffs. And, you know, we talk about the various soybean, the impacts that the soybean market will have and so forth. And we don't see, again, Wall Street freaking out about any type of trade wars between the U.S. and China. But I think this is the pressure that we've seen on gold and silver. We did see cracks that formed in the commodities market. The price for copper has plunged 16% over the past month. It hit a one-year low on Wednesday. You have iron ore. It's another critical metal. That's dropped 11% this year. So zinc hasn't been this cheap since mid-2017. And a Bloomberg index of industrial metals, including aluminum and nickel, closed on Wednesday at the lowest since August of 2017. So, you know, you do see copper. You do see the other metals. We've seen it in platinum and palladium. Their prices are reflecting concerns about a global slowdown due to these tariffs. So, you know, these trade wars, you know, they can be fought on multiple fronts. You know, and then we go to the farmers, we go to the soybeans, and we have China, the world's largest consumer of soybeans. They impose a 25% retaliatory tariff on the crop last week. So, you know, which gives a huge blow to the American farmers. And you had the soybean prices crash 13% this year, and that's the lowest since December 2008.
Wow.
So you're seeing these numbers hit various markets. Perhaps it hasn't filtered down to all the consumers yet, but it's probably just a
matter of time.
Know, little ways, yeah.
Matter of time. It has to be. You know, and I don't know. Tariffs are constitutional. They truly are.
Yes, they are.
This is my opinion, in my opinion, $1.50 by a cup of coffee, that if they would have done this over a period of time, each administration doing a little here and a little there, it wouldn't have been it wouldn't have been such a slap in the face to all these countries. If they'd done 2-3% here, 2-3% there, maybe we could have eased it in, and it would have been such a retaliation perhaps from other countries. I don't know. But it's been done, and good or bad, time will tell. And whether it's constitutional or not doesn't mean it's always going to work anymore, not in the world economy like it is. America once was able to take care of herself, Melody. We produced everything for ourselves. We exported goods. We didn't import goods. That's no longer the case. America is dependent upon many nations for many things. America has lost her ability, I think, to be able to take care of herself. And I'm going to say this and move on, because it may probably make a lot of people mad. The younger generation, what do you call the millennials today? Not all of them, but I know some of them. And unless you take them by the hand and show them step by step, they can't do anything. They're not taught to think on their own. And I see that as maybe a hurting a job market. I mean, yeah, they are trained to do certain things, and they should be. That's wonderful. But the work ethic and the common sense applied in our generation even has depreciated terribly in the last, 30, 40 years. I think you know that also.
Mm-hmm.
So that all ties together for the economy. If we can't feed ourselves and prices go up because of whatever reason, so we can't say, we'll add 20% to soybeans, whatever, and send it out of here. We can't do that any longer because we have to import food also. Didn't have to do that years ago. We fed the world. But that's not so today. We'll see. But here's some good news, Melody. Hillary is really thinking about running again in 2020.
Yay. I'm just kidding. Wonderful? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I was told she's going to be in jail by now. But anyway, be that as it may. Hillary Clinton has ramped her public presence and fundraising appeals. She has been outspoken about President Trump's zero-tolerance immigration policy and raised $1.5 million for various groups. Clinton's next scheduled public appearance is at the third annual Aussie Fest that takes place July 21st and 22nd Central Park. Mobile Democrats have stoked the 2020 speculation fires with talk of challenging Trump in 2 years. So we'll see. Could Hillary run again? In this crazy country, anything could happen. Who knows? Oprah Winfrey may win. We don't know. This nation's insane with all kinds of ideas. I don't know. Hillary and Clinton, Bill Clinton, should both be in prison right now for a lot of reasons. But with all the clamor we heard about when Trump's elected, he's going to put her in prison and take down this tyranny of the Clintons, I haven't seen it happen yet. Now, maybe it will. I hope 2-3 years from now, I'm pleasantly surprised, and they are in jail, and their empire is taken down. But I'm not holding breath. Is that a wrong way to look at it?
No, but you know what? That's kind of an interesting strategy for the Democrats. I mean, I kind of wondered why there really wasn't one particular Democrat that was kind of, you know, taking the stage where somebody, they were backing anybody. Do you really believe they would back her again? Everyone has been fairly mum about her as far as from the, you know, Democratic side and so forth. She did have a lot of votes. She did have
she
a
did.
Lot of, you can't deny that.
She did, and a lot of people vote for Trump, and now a lot of them are not liking him, and that's true. I mean, really.
But the court justices was one reason why a lot voted for Trump, because they prefer him over her to choose those Supreme Court justices. He's going to have two, and he might even have a third one before his four years is up. So they don't have that reason anymore.
He put a Bushite in. And that's a fact. Matter of fact, Kavanaugh actually helped cover up Vince Foster's death. And this is true. I mean, I'm not just saying this. I got paperwork on my desk somewhere about that. He even tried to cover up Vince Foster's death. His wife was a secretary with the Bush administration. So, okay, say what you will. Maybe it's better what Hillary had done. But that's not the point. People wanted Trump to clean the house up and get some things straightened up. He's soft on child murder. I know that'd be a fact. A lot of things this man is not what he says to be, and Pastor Chuck Baldwin wrote a great article about that, a great article exposing what he has done and who he is. So, okay, we'll see. We will see what happens. I'm not going to.
Which one are you talking about, Kavanaugh? Yeah.
Kavanaugh.
Well, no, I don't approve of Kavanaugh. My point was being, though, those that voted for Trump because of the court justices, whether, you know, regardless of him, but that does that give them a reason to vote for Hillary if she did run again, pushing her even higher in those numbers, and it still comes down to the delegates and so forth. But interesting, and I just can't imagine that the Democrats would choose her again for the, but like
time
you said,
tell.
This world is
tell.
Nuts. This world is nuts.
And you know, and to show how maybe we're getting desperate, I don't know. Maybe this is one of the reasons why this is going to happen. Pay raises in the future not going to be determined by your boss or what the company thinks you. It's going to be determined by AI, artificial intelligence, is going to decide who gets a raise and who gets to be head of the company. I'm not making it up. This article says using AI to predict the future, it is reminiscent of the father of technology, Henry de Saint Simon. He lived from 1768 to 25. And this is what he said. Simon said this. A scientist, my dear friends, is a man who foresees. It's because science provides the means to predict that is useful, and the scientists are superior to all other men. Not a bit cocky, is he? Or was he? But it says, welcome to the future, citizen, where employees not replaced by robots will be granted raises based on their predicted performance by a computer. And no, this is not some dystopian vision of the future. IBM is already doing just that, using their Watson artificial intelligence to look at employees' experiences and projects, and integrating data from their internal training systems to assess whether the employee has gained new skills. According to Bloomberg, when performance review time rolls around at IBM, employees get judged not only on their past accomplishments and failures, but also on how they will perform in the future. That now includes hypothetical futures performance to IBM claims Watson the 96% accuracy rate and compared to HR experts. Are we losing a little bit of the personal touch, a human touch in society?
Seems that way.
I mean, this is cold. It's cold. I mean, perhaps a guy can't do as well as others. I understand that. But it bothers me that a computer is going to decide whether you get a raise or not, or whether I get a raise or not. That bothers me. It does.
Well, yeah, but then on the other hand, you know, maybe the IA who's determining who gets a raise or not, you know, there's a lot of people who deserve raises that don't get them, and there's
That's
a lot
true.
Of people who
I,
do
I
get
see
raises
both sides
that don't
of that.
Deserve them. Yeah. So
I
at
see
least
both
an
sides
AI
of that.
Would take all of that human emotion out of there that the HR and bosses seem to, apply in their daily decisions.
I understand what you're saying. I really do. And I see the practicality of it. I see the logic of it. But it bothers me that a machine makes decisions on people's lives.
What I have a problem with AI is because then now they say they can determine how long you're going to live.
That's my next article. Good for you. As a matter of fact, it's right here in front of me. This is, well, it's not exactly the one you mentioned, but this is, I think, even better as far as new. We're doing this right now. The article said, is the end nigh? New blood test can reveal your life expectancy. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, I'm going to make this up. This is for real. We got to go to break in a second. I know that, so I'll wait to do after the break. But it says Yale scientists developed a measure to calculate biological age with greater accuracy. We'll share it after the break. But this is for real stuff, Melody. And could that tie in the fact that, hey, you're getting some years on you now? You only got another 2-3 years to live. Why should you spend money on you, right?
Yes, you're right.
I mean, really. Again, the personal touch and the caring is going back to mechanical ways of working. You're a useless eater. Why feed you?
Yep. That's what it's going to come down to, whether you're a useless eater or not. If you're a useless eater,
in a minute, whoop, though,
pull that plug.
And, there you go.
Hey, we'll be right back right after these few short messages. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul.
Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. We were talking about AI going into the break, artificial intelligence, from, you know, whether they're going to determine who gets raises and who don't, who doesn't, and those who, how long you get to live if you are a useless eater. And it's and we were talking during the break about how frightening it can be because of the youth. They embrace this technology, and there's no guidance from anyone, from their parents, as far as the problems. And you know, the parents are encouraging it also.
Well, it makes life simpler, Mel. They don't have to think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, when we started doing credit cards. I remember back
making
in the
decisions.
Yeah, exactly. But we started getting simple. You had credit cards. You need to carry cash. Now you don't need to carry cash. You need to carry just one card. And you need to do this. Use your facial scan. You can buy with your phone thumbprint on your phone. Yeah, these are all convenient ways. And don't make any decisions. Let the computer do it for you.
And they make it fun.
They make it sound really appealing, and it does appeal to the people in mass. You know that. I mean, how do you think the Antichrist is going to bring about his total beast system with his final mark? It's going to be appealing, is it not?
Yes,
the people
would
reject it. But then this article about blood tests. So I thought this is kind of, well, kind of spooky in some ways. To create the test, scientists looked at 42 different clinical measures. It could be just the thing for those who need a nudge to start ticking items off their bucket list. Scientists have developed a blood test that reveals how long a person has left to live. The test draws on 9 biomarkers found in the blood that can be used to calculate the biological age of a person's body. That is, how old it seems from the way it functions, as opposed to how long it's been out of the womb. Let that sink in a second. Researchers at Yale University in Connecticut found that the test was a more accurate predictor of life expectancy than a person's chronological age or any of their biomarkers individually. And to show you how the blood can be used to determine things, we went down, my wife and I, Marshall, went down to Mexico last year, BioCare Hospital. What a wonderful trip. I won't go back again this year if possible. But anyway, it's the only hospital that I wanted to go to. But they drew a drop of blood on her fingers. They pricked her fingers, took blood out, and they put it under a scope and showed pictures of the blood on the screen. Now, Melody, I've never seen my blood before. I never saw the cells flowing through. I never saw the white cells and red cells. I never knew what they looked like. I didn't. I looked at my blood, and would you believe that the red blood cells are kind of oval shaped, but there's a glow around the bottom, around the outside edges of that oval shaped red blood cell. They're actually pretty to look at. And the white blood cells look like multifaceted diamonds glistening. They're gorgeous. And people think all this just happened. It's evolution. Bull. Anyway, but I watched the blood work. And the guy looked at my blood and said, "You got back problems." I didn't tell him that. He saw it in my blood.
Is that right?
That's right. He saw it in my blood. So the Bible says, you know, the life is in the blood, and I wonder if that means more than what we thought it did.
Yeah.
If they can tell, I have back problems, and of course the blood tells whether you have sometimes cancer or diabetic or a lot of things. So I was, when he said that, I was just dumbfounded for a second. He read that in my blood. So yeah, I guess it's quite possible that they can tell you that you have so much longer to live. Now my question is this: How many of us really want to know that?
I don't know. There's some days I do, and some days I don't.
I understand that. but seriously, think about that a minute. Now, how many people really want to know? Hey, you got 2 years, 2 months, 20 years to live. That's a question now, is it not?
Yes, it is.
So I don't know, but more than that, I know you don't think this is nuts, but I'm not making it up. This is actually true. Being rich and successful really is in your DNA. Being dealt the right genes determines whether you get on in life. Study involved 20,000 individuals from Britain, New Zealand, and the U.S. Found men and women with genes for education did better academically. However, the same genes also help make someone upwardly socially mobile. Success could be your DNA, according to a new study. Scientists have found social mobility is partially written into our genes, which makes us high flyers or high earners. I must have missed out on that gene very bad. But anyway, a study of more than 20,000 people, I just read that to you, found those with certain genetic variations earn more money, have better careers, and got further in education. Regardless of which class they come from, their genes could help them do better in life than their parents before them. The study lends weight to the theory that nature rather than nurture largely determines how well people get on in their lives. What do you think about them apples?
Well, I suspect you can. I mean, at one point in time, it was just based on, you know, before we had all this technology and so forth, and the DNA, it was all based on your type A and type B personality type theory. And I guess that could also be tied to DNA to some respects. So, I'm sure it does. But you'd think also environment and everything else would also play into that to some degree. It's interesting and very fascinating.
You take your child and have blood tests, he's going to die at age 75. He's not going to amount to anything. DNA says so.
DNA says
so. You know, I mean, we're laughing about this, but this is real stuff.
Yeah. But you know what also, you know, there's a big push on DNA. I mean, everywhere you turn around, they want your DNA. They want your DNA. And if you do this, they'll take your DNA and change it and so forth and how you can. And,
by the way,
you know,
I'll say this very quickly. Vaccinations have been proven now to permanently change DNA.
DNA,
the flu
yes.
vaccine permanently changed DNA. Do you know why? Do you know why Noah and his family was saved out of the flood? The biblical reason why?
Tell us.
Because your DNA hadn't been changed by the fallen angels that come down and bred with people, with women. They were the last pure blood in the world. The DNA had not been altered. So why do you think Satan would want to alter our DNA through vaccinations or any other way? He tried to corrupt the seed then. And he's doing it again now. Anyway, that's true. Mm. Go ahead.
No, very interesting. Yeah, no. No, continue.
So, these are things that concern me. You know, we're talking about gold and silver and finances. But all this does affect that. It truly does. Everything in our lives, you know, it's a circle of equal portions that affect each other. Education, you know, affects certain things. Your spiritual knowledge affects certain things. Your physical, of course, does, and finances do. It all ties together. So when the Bible teaches us how to live in this world, it teaches spiritual needs, physical needs, and financial needs. It teaches it all. So we need to cover all this thing because it really is all tied together. A corrupt people are people rob each other, kill each other to get wealthy and control, as we have seen it happen in all over the world, in our nation now. Usually ends up destroying a lot of innocent people financially in every other way. Because the elite, if you want to call them that, rob, steal, and kill to get it, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
So it all ties together. And back to finance again. We hit a record high in May of a trade deficit with China. Now, I'm going to try to read this number. $257,500,000 deficit in May alone. $153 billion trade deficit in May. It's the highest. It's a record high trade deficit. Now, I thought we were doing better with that. I didn't know we were going downhill. But said the U.S. merchandise trade deficit with China has set a record through May, hitting the amount I just read for the first 5 months, 2018, according to data released Friday by the Census Bureau. From January through May, the Census Bureau reports the United States exported $52,902,300,000 in goods to China, while importing $205,139,800,000 from China. So we're actually losing ground, of course, with China, swapping back and forth. We spent 3.87 times more greater than we got than we sold to China. So that's quite a bit of money difference, is it not?
Well, it certainly is. And, you know, again, you know, you can put all kinds of tariffs on, trying to stem and trying to make those numbers better. But you really have to ask the American people, are they willing to pay more? You know, if we're having a little bit better economy, people are spending more, and all those trinkets come from China. So, you know, you're going to have those bigger deficits because we don't make anything anymore. So is the tariffs really going to bring jobs back into this country? I don't think it might create a little revenue for the government, and I think that's what it's all about. The government is out desperately seeking revenue.
Yes, it is.
That's what it's all about. Even the money in this NATO, it's all about revenue. It's all about, hey, we're tapped. You know, it's in a different way to say, you know, we're broke. We can't keep doing it. And they're out there, you know, he's out there, you know, stumping to you know, perhaps ease. And that's what, you know, we talked a little bit about yesterday, and myself with James Corbett last night, is why doesn't, instead of asking the other nations to step up to pay more, why don't we just pay less?
That's very true. You know, and as mentioned, I think, the other day on the program, credit card spending is a record high also. Now, I got to ask you this question. If you're using a credit card, you normally don't have the cash at the time to pay for it. Is that a good thing, or are people really optimistic enough to think they'll go have the money in before it comes due? We're spending more on credit than we ever have. I'm just curious as to the reason why that's happening.
As consumers, we've been conditioned. You know, when you have an economy that's based on, you know, 70% consumerism, you know, people are conditioned that they don't have to wait. If you want something, you go get it. You know, it's the old do it now. If it feels good, do it. And it's the same thing when you buy something. If you want it, you buy it. You worry about paying for it later. And usually the lower income usually are the ones that get deeper and deeper into debt. They're the ones who buy the trinkets. Those are they're the easiest to manipulate into the purchasing of things. You know, the middle class, they spend their money on toys. You know, they finance you know, boats and additional cars. They take the equities out of their homes and they spend that so they can go on great vacations and things like that. And then the wealthier class, they have less debt. The biggest debt falls onto the lowest part of the citizens, the people. They have the least, and they probably carry the most debt along with the middle class.
That's probably true. And I know people personally who can't even put up $50 to go see a doctor without borrowing it. I'm serious. I know the people personally, and that's how bad it is. But another topic, but it kind of, I think, is important. Mexico's new leftist president builds a wall on their southern border to stop illegal immigration. Wow. We can't build our wall, but they build theirs. Durazo indicated that the new border police force will be part of a much larger regional effort to reduce poverty and violence that plagues so many Central American countries, which ultimately leads to a flood of families crossing into Mexico. He said the new police force was to be sizable, deployed to Mexico's southern border. Durazo declined to offer more specifics to Bloomberg, but he noted that the police force will be used to secure the northern wall as well. We're going to create a border police force that will be highly specialized, Durazo told Bloomberg. They need to apply the law against illegal immigration and human trafficking crossing into Mexico, which Durazo points out often occurs under the supervision of corrupt officials. Now, wait a minute. I thought they were ticked at us for trying to turn back illegals, but they're doing the same thing on their southern border, but it's okay. I believe I call that man a hypocrite. You see the point of this? They can do it, and they should do it, but we can't. We shouldn't. That is absolutely two-faced, hypocritical.
Well, you know, Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, I guess he's traveling to Mexico now to talk to the new president down there. Very little was released as far as what they hope to gain, but perhaps with the trying to further the NAFTA agreement now with the change in president and so forth. So not sure if they'll, you know, I'm not sure they'll be able to promote the NAFTA any further than what it is now, but we'll see. But I guess Kushner is down there trying to bring life back into revamping that NAFTA trade agreement.
Well, we will see what happens, but I just know that, you know, what's good for the goose, you say, should be good for the gander also. We'll see. Two more articles here. We're going out of time here. I see the clock already. But the Turkish lira tumbles to a record low as ticking time bomb looms in banking system. Italian bank stocks tumble as Savannah warns of euro breakup. Now, again, it's not just here or Venezuela. It's over Europe also. The, we'll call them dollars of those countries, the financial system of those countries are also collapsing just like everybody else is, aren't they?
Absolutely they are. You know, and again, where's the reaction from anyone or any market? Doesn't seem to be any. And we are out of time. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'll be back tomorrow with my interview with James Corbett. And Pastor Butch, it was great to spend the hour with you.
And happy birthday again.
Well, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be, thank you for joining us, and be safe, and good night, and God bless.
I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy